Luke chapter 7, verse 1, and this passage of scripture that we're coming to after Jesus speaking about the foundation of building your life. In the previous chapter, he talked about building your life on his sayings, on the truth. And he gave that illustration that if you build your house on sand, what happens to it when the wind and the storms come? Years ago, many years ago, when they built the shed down where I am, where my Gaspereau trap was, what they did was my uncle and my father, and they decided we'd just pour a bunch of gravel and then build a building on top of the gravel. Well, it's not a bad idea, except it's in a floodplain. And not very often, but once in a while, the flood comes up, and it comes up so high that it was actually flowing 18 inches of water inside my shed. But what do you think happens to the gravel underneath the foundation? Whoosh. It's washed away. So I, thinking my great solution was to leave the trees grow up around the building, so to hold roots, to hold the gravel there, not thinking that the trees would grow up beyond the slope of the steel, and then when the snow load get on the steel, instead of it coming all the way off the roof, it run into the trees, and so the roof came down this winter. So I got it from the bottom, and then I started getting it from the top. But you got to make sure what you build is going to be stand the test of time. And I'm going to tell you something today. You want to make sure that what you build with your life is going to stand the test of eternity, because there is an eternity. And most people live as if there isn't an eternity, and they think it doesn't really matter. Do whatever pleases you right now. Go about your life and do whatever you want, because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because you're just going to die, and that's the end of the story. But I want you to know that that is not true. And I want you to know by the authority of Jesus Christ that there is an eternity that waits for every one of us, that no one can bypass it. Nobody can say, I'm checking out, and I'm not going to have anything on the other side. You have no say in the matter. We live in such an independent society today that most people think they have a say in a lot of stuff they have no say in at all. Most people think they're in control when they're not in control at all. Do you know how little you're in control? How quickly things can change in your life? How instantly everything can go in a different direction? You control so little, so very little. But let me encourage you that there is someone who is in control, that this is not chaos, but there is a God who is in control in spite of the circumstances that you might face in your life. And that there is a place where you can find a sure foundation in the midst of chaos, in the midst of what's going to happen next. And that is found in the person and the work and the words of Jesus Christ. So when he says, I'm to build your house on a rock, to build your house on these sayings of mine, you need to pay attention. And the reason why you need to pay attention, because we're not talking about just any old Joe here, sorry Joe, or any old Fred. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about a person whose character and whose conduct has stood the test of time. We're talking about a person, not a figment of somebody's imagination, by the way, because you don't have to just look in the Bible to find the person of Jesus Christ. You can find him to refer to in historical history. Eusebius, who was not a Christian, wrote as a historian, and he wrote about Jesus Christ, and he wrote about the things that he did. And I want you to know this, because it is so vitally important that the name of Jesus has stood the test of time, and the words of Jesus have overridden the words of all the great conquerors of this world. He has stood over all of time. No one has been able to get rid of the name of Jesus. No one has been able to get rid of his words. The Bible, and I've said this many times, is still the number one bestseller in the world. And regardless, even though there's been so much religious hogwash go on in the world for so many centuries, and many people have pointed to that and say, well, you know, God can't be who he says he is because this religion is doing that, or that religion is saying that, or that one is doing that. That's man. All that man has contrived and man has done does not change one whit of the word of God and the truths that are contained within it. And my challenge to you today is stop to pay attention to the person of Jesus Christ, because he has authority. And here we're going to see a story that relates and gives us a little bit of picture of that. And from a man who actually wasn't a Jew, a Roman centurion, and yet he recognized the authority of Jesus Christ. Luke 7:1. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. So Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent returned to the house and found the servant well who had been sick. In this story, we have Jesus coming into this town. Probably the centurion had built the synagogue in that town. He had been one who believed the God of Israel. Somewhere along the line, this Roman citizen, this one who had, the ones who had conquered the Jews, had saw who God was, but not only who God was, he saw who Jesus was. And he saw who Jesus was in such an amazing way that he was completely blown away by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, being a centurion, the word century, you get 100 from the word century, it meant that he would have been a captain over at least 100 soldiers, sometimes more. But at least 100 soldiers would be under his command. So he knew what authority was. He knew that when he, if he told one of his soldiers to go and do something, that they did it. He didn't have to follow it up. He didn't have to go and say, "Well, I wonder, did they do that?" Because he had the authority, and if they didn't do it, most likely there was no chance that he would live the next day. That's the way it was in the Roman army. If you didn't do what you were told, you were put to death. There was no second chances. And so when this centurion would tell somebody to do something, consider it done. Consider it done because it was his authority that was speaking. So if he said to you, "I'm sending a soldier down to such and such a place," immediately that's what would have happened. There wouldn't have been any question of it. You could go home and say, "I know there's going to be a soldier in such and such a place because the centurion said so." It was his word. The word of the centurion was the word of law. And so when he requests for Jesus to come, when we request for healing by Jesus, he says, when the guy makes the request, he says, they came to Jesus, he sent his servants to do it, saying that this one, when he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. So I want to point a few things out. First of all, this centurion was a man of authority, but he was a man of compassion. You see that? He was a man of compassion. Because generally, soldiers, they didn't care so much about their servants, but he cared. He said it was, he had a servant that was very dear to him, and he was sick and ready to die. And so he was a man of authority, but he was a man of compassion. I'm talking about the centurion now. And he was also a man of faith. He was a man of faith because he believed that Jesus could heal. He believed that Jesus could do something for him. And so he sent the Jews. He asked the Jews, the elders of the Jews, to go. And somehow, most of the Jews hated the Romans. But because this man was a man of authority and a man of compassion, they listened to him. He was also a man of generosity, as you can see here. It says that he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. He was a man who put his money where his mouth was. A lot of people don't. A lot of people talk. "Oh, if I had lots of money, I would give it to the poor. Oh, if I had $1 million, you know, I would give away a lot of money to help people. And in the meantime, most of the people that say that don't give a cent of what they actually have. You always give according to what you have. But this man was a man of generosity, as well as a man of authority, as well as a man of compassion. That's quite the credentials to have, isn't it? To see that this where this man's heart was. But also, you'll discover something else about this man, that he was a man of humility. Because what did he say? I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. So I didn't even think myself worthy to come to you. I'm not worthy to come to you, and I'm not worthy for you to be under your roof. Characteristics had come to this man, who already was a believer in God, and obviously already a believer in Jesus Christ, without ever having met him. Imagine that. No wonder it says at the end of this story that Jesus marveled at him. He said and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. The people of God, who had been exposed to so much of the truth of God, didn't believe Jesus the way this man did. Let me encourage you to believe in Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to discover the authority of Jesus Christ, because the very characteristics that this man had, they were given to him from God. The Bible says everything we have that's good, God has given it to us. And so when he comes and he makes this request to Jesus Christ, we understand now why he could say this. He said, you don't have to come down here. So Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, don't trouble yourself. You don't have to come. I believe that you just have to say the word, and my servant will be healed. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust in you, Jesus, that whatever you say is law. Whatever you say is done. What a faith that was. I don't know about you, but I'd be looking down the road. I'd be waiting and wondering, I got to see him. I got to see. Right? No. He believed. And by believing, he received. He says, look, I'm not worthy to come to you, and I'm not even worthy to be under your roof. So you just have to say the word, and I know it's going to be done. I'll consider it done. And the reason why I know this is because I am also a man of authority, you see? I also am a man placed under authority. I'm under authority, and I have soldiers under me. So he also recognized that Jesus was under authority. Whose authority was Jesus under? The Father's authority. And he also realized that everything else was under the authority of Jesus Christ. Oh, this man knew far more than most of the people who had read the Bible over and over and over again. The people who were full of religion didn't have faith. But here's a man who trusted and believed, who was not brought up with all of these benefits that the Jews had, but this man believed. And as a result, he believed and he received. So I want to share with you today the authority of Jesus Christ. We have seen the authority of this centurion, but that was a limited authority, right? It was an authority limited to his place in the Roman army. But Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, look what it says about him. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and on earth. Now listen, if this is true, you need to find out who he is and you need to know him. If it's not true, doesn't matter. But if it's true that Jesus Christ has all authority, he has authority over you. He has authority over your soul. He has authority over where you will spend eternity. And you don't want to leave that one to chance, do you? If it's true that Jesus Christ has that kind of authority, you know that the Bible says, Jesus said, my words are going to judge you in the last day. then I need to understand that he has this authority. And if it's true that he has this kind of authority and we come under his authority, then we can follow his direction. And oh, what can he do with someone like us? What can he do for you and through you and towards others as you live under the authority of Jesus Christ? You see, all authority has been given to him. Not only that, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Let me tell you something. There's something about the truth that rings deep into the hearts of souls. Regardless of how many lies are said, truth cuts through. The Bible says the word of God is, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There is a real authority that comes with the word of God. And I know this, and I can say this with clarity today as I'm speaking, that when I speak the truth from the word of God, there is an authority that comes with it. But it's not my own authority. It's the authority of God. It's the authority of the word of God. If I make up stories and I begin to share them with you, there's no authority in that. That's just me speaking. If I tell you fairy tales, there's no authority in that. That's just me speaking or somebody else's fairy tale speaking. But when I speak the truth of the word of God, there's a ring of authority to it that is undeniable. It's the truth. And I have seen the authority of God's word. I've seen the power that it can produce in people's lives and the transformation that can happen because of the authority of the word. Because God has said it. And all I'm doing is being a mouthpiece to repeat, to pass on what God has said from his authority, not mine. Praise the Lord. What did Jesus say in John chapter 8? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How often so many people have quoted that, not even knowing that it was the words of Jesus Christ. Truth sets you free. Lies put you into bondage. And they do. Oh, the devil has lied to the world and lied to men and convinced them somehow everything is going to be all right. Just do whatever you please. And at the end of the day, well, you're just going to be dead and you'll be in the ground or else everybody's going to go to heaven. All different kinds of lies have been propagated down through the years. But Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except by me. Come under the authority of Jesus Christ. How much authority does Jesus have? For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Goes right back to creation. Right back to the very creation in the book of Genesis. God, 2 Corinthians 4:6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The one who made the first creation has come to shine in your heart and make you a new creation when you trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, the authority of the word, the authority of Jesus. John 7:45, the officers came to the chief priest. They were supposed to arrest Jesus. They were sent out. They were given orders, right? And when they came back, this wasn't the Romans, by the way. This was the religious guard that were sent out to go and arrest Jesus because of his teachings. And they came back and they said to them, why have you not brought him? You were sent out to arrest him. Where is Jesus? And the answer was this. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. And that still rings true to this very hour. No one has spoken like Jesus Christ. No one has reached into the hearts of so many lives and transformed them. No one has changed the face of the world more than the person of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about just religious structures and religious organizations. I'm talking about people who have been completely transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, where he comes into their lives and makes them a new creation and changes their very direction and their very heart. So they end up with two principles operating in their lives. And if these two principles are not operating in their lives, I don't care how much religion you have. I don't care how many hallelujahs you can say. I don't care how many churches you go to or don't go to. if these two principles are not operating fundamentally in a person's life, they're not Christians. These are the two principles. Love the Lord, your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Both. Not just one. Because you will not truly love your neighbor if you do not truly love God. Those are the principles that come with the work and power of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. In other words, you better carefully listen to the things we have heard, lest we drift away, lest we turn in any direction from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. In other words, when God laid things down in the Old Testament and he laid down things through angels, and when he spoke, like for example, through Moses and he gave the law, everything worked out exactly the way it was. Listen, if we don't listen to the word of God, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? God also bearing witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. He says, listen, you aren't going to escape. If you neglect the word of God and the teaching of Jesus Christ, you will lose your soul. I'm going to tell you that with the authority of Jesus Christ. If you take the Lord Jesus and you take him at his word, which is what I want to encourage you to do, you will discover a salvation so rich and so free and so amazing. Look what it says in Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. This is being so that you can be right with God. You can have a clean conscience. Could you stand up today and say, I have a clean conscience in the sight of God and men? Could you stand up today and say that? You can only say that under the authority of Jesus Christ. You can't say that off your own. Because your righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. Well, that's humbling. Take your place like the centurion. I'm not worthy. I am not worthy. God doesn't come to the worthy ones. God doesn't bless the worthy ones. He blesses the actually unworthy ones in the respect of humility, in the respect of trust. Jesus did not come to in the response. The Jews came with, you know, he's worthy, therefore you must come and help him. But Jesus didn't say, he gave a lot of money to a synagogue, therefore I'm going to come. That's not why he responded. He responded because of his mercy. And he always responds because of his mercy. And that is exactly what he did in this situation. Because the righteousness of faith comes this way. Listen, here's what it says about the righteousness of faith. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ from above. The righteousness of faith is not, can I climb into heaven and bring God down? Or can I go down into the abyss and bring Christ up from the dead? But here's what it says. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I want you to see the beauty of this. God is so close. The truth is so near. It says here, the word is near you. It is so close to you that it can be in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which is preached. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you get that? Did you see how simple that was? This is the righteousness of faith. This is what God gives to people. The amazing privilege of being saved. You don't have to go and find Christ in heaven somehow. You don't have to climb a million steps to get to heaven. You don't have to build a tower to heaven like they did with the Tower of Babel. You don't have to see, well, if I can go find the bones of Jesus Christ and bring him up or go down to get to raise him from the dead. All you have to do is believe in him, trust in him. That's exactly what it says here. That's how close it is. Take God at his word. What a wonderful thing when you take God at his word. What a difference it makes when you take him at his word. What an incredible experience when you take God at his word. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. If this is true, grab it. Run with it. Let your life be founded upon it. If it's not true, then throw it all away. Listen, it's hot or cold, it's all or nothing here. Don't you dabble in religion. Don't you have a little bit of God in some corner in your life and think you're okay. So many people think, if I can just take a little bit of God and talk about him a little bit and say, well, yeah, I believe there's a God or whatever. That is ridiculous. Jesus is telling you, and the Word of God says over and over again, you're either on one foundation or you're another. Your house is either built on sand and it's going to crumble, or else it's built on the rock and it's going to stand. Where's your house? Where's your life? Your life will crumble into the dust. And there'll be nothing left except for your soul to be lost for eternity if you do not take God at his word. I challenge you and encourage you today, take him at his word. Because it says this, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. The picture that's given here, there is no difference. Oh, well, I have some degrees. I'm smarter. Oh, well, I don't have any education at all. I don't have as much of a chance. Or, oh, well, I have a lot of money. That's got to count for something. I've got a big house. Well, I've got a small house. Well, I'm short. Well, I'm tall. Well, it doesn't matter what you are or what you aren't. There is no difference whether you're Greek or whether you're Jew, whether you're tall or short. It doesn't matter. What matters is whether you have this relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the same Lord is rich. Overall is rich to all who call upon him. If you call upon the name of the Lord, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you get that? Isn't it wonderful to have an authority speak? In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the religion and everything else that's going on in the world. And that's amazing to me how many people have said this. Well, you know, how can anybody believe in God? There's so many different religions in the world. Well, so what? There can be, I don't care if there's a million, there's probably a new one started up today somewhere. There surely will be. And probably there's 10 or 15 of them. Excuse me, that doesn't matter. Jesus has spoken. He's the final authority on this. And he will be the final authority at the end of the age. Do you know the Bible gives us the beginning of the world? And it clearly shows us the end of the world. Do you realize that in the Word of God, it said things 2,000 years ago that are so applicable today that it's amazing? Did you know that the utter destruction of the planet was predicted 2,000 years ago in the Bible in such a way that when we look today, we say, well, 100 years ago or even 200 years ago, it would be impossible for these things to happen. Now, all that was predicted in the Word of God is possible to happen right now. It's possible. The whole planet could be blown to pieces in no time. The Bible speaks about a third of the fish in the sea dying. There's only about a third left now. Everything that was predicted, which would be impossible to even conceive in those days, has come to pass exactly the way God said it would. You know, the wisdom that's in the Word of God, when you look, I think I've mentioned this recently, the authority of the Antichrist that will come into power, that he will have three authorities, three powers, and you discover those in the book of Revelation, and you find them listed out through the Bible as well. The wisdom that comes from the Word of God is incredible, that the Antichrist power will be political, it will be financial, economic, and it will be religious. Those are the three major powers in the world. Did you know that? They are. And the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the Word of God already said that years, thousands of years before, and we're seeing it. And some people have their eyes open to see it. The wisdom that the Word of God continually teaches all the way through is incredible in its nature, and it is irrefutable. We watch it before us. And if all of that wisdom is true, then the wisdom of how to be saved and know it, how to be with God for eternity is clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? If you don't believe, how can you call? But how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? Well, if you haven't heard, how can you believe? And how will they hear without a preacher? That's where I come in. That's where preachers come in. Preachers who will be faithful to proclaim the word of God, not their own little ideas. What does it say here? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I can take my shoes off and show you my feet. They aren't that beautiful. Believe me. But that's not what it's talking about here, is it? It's talking about how glorious and how wonderful it is that there are people who are willing to go with this gospel, who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is the best news you could ever hear. This is better than if you got a ticket to the best concert on earth. This is better than if you went to the moon and back. This is the best news you could ever hear. Glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Even though this message is the best news on earth, even though it comes with the authority of Jesus Christ, even though it's available to all who want to hear it, they have not all observed or obeyed or listened to this message. Are you one of those? Are you one of the ones who have not obeyed the message? Are you one of the ones who are out on the outskirts or out on the edge? Let me encourage you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God. You respond to the word of God. Listen, Jesus Christ has all authority. He had the authority to come and to speak a word for that centurion servant, and instantly he was healed. And I want you to know, though the centurion had compassion, though he had authority, though he had humility, and though he had faith, we have a greater than that centurion, and it's Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you today to take Jesus Christ at his word? Do you know that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, it might be verse 2. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Did you get that? How many of you, I know, never mind Facebook, okay? But if you open the newspaper, generally what you read there, you accept that it's true. You weren't there when it happened, but you read in the paper that it happened, and you believed it. And sometimes the next person you see, did you hear about what happened? And you tell people what you saw on the news. Am I right? And you take man at his word, right? How often do you take man at his word? Now, let me ask you another question. How often is man wrong? Pretty often. But what about God? Will you take God at his word, or will you make him a liar? Which will you be? What will you do with the words of Jesus Christ and his authority? Because his authority stands. If you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. Take God at his word. The centurion was willing to take God at his word. Just say the word and he'll be healed. Just say the word. That's all I need is the word from God, and it's enough. Is it enough for you? Are you looking for some other word? There isn't any other authority, friends. No other authority can usurp the authority of Jesus Christ. Here's what's very incredible. I am amazed how many people think that they are the authority. Their finite little lives. Their quick, fleeting little dust particles that have come into this world and will quickly be fading away. Stand up with arrogance and say, I have know so much that I will make my own authority. And what I say goes. You know what the Bible says? He who sits in the heavens will laugh in derision. Do you really think that you have such authority to decide your fate? To decide where you're going to spend eternity? To decide, well, I can make up my own. But yes, you can believe whatever you want. Of course you can, but it's not going to make the change the truth. I could sit here all day and say, that chair is going to turn into a Rolls Royce. And I can believe it as hard as I want. There's some fools out there that are teaching this, even in the name of religion, in the name of God. Well, I'm going to believe that stool is going to turn into a car. Well, go ahead, believe it all you want. Is it going to turn into a car? No, that's ridiculous. There has to be truth involved. Truth will happen. And I must believe the truth, and then I have authority. Without the truth, I have no authority at all. So make sure you got the right foundation. Make sure you have the truth. And then you can live under the authority. And you can speak the authority of God. Because that authority remains. Everything else fades away. Praise God. Can I encourage you with all my heart? Take God at his word. Take the Bible up, read it, and what he says, believe it. Because it will stand the test of time. It already has. Yes.
Pierre, you give me a minute to see what happened to me this week, and maybe you can analyze that.
Quickly.
Oh, long time ago when I was drinking, oh, 30 years or so.
Yeah.
I used to have this thing that I would be at somebody's party, and the wife would say, "Are you coming home?" I'd say, "No." And then I'd walk home, and I'd borrow a vehicle to get home.
Right.
Happened to me 3 times in my drinking career. 2 of these people have passed away. I already confessed to these things. But the third man, Gordon Lawrence, this week, for years I knew I was going to do this. I went to him, and I said to him, "I'm the one that took your truck."
Yeah.
And he wasn't saying nothing. He said, "Was you?" I said, "Yes, it was me." I want to interject here for a minute, and I want to say that I'm not doing this because I'm scared to go to hell or go to heaven or something.
Right.
I know in my soul, inside of me, that it's telling me that I have to do that. Mm. It doesn't come from me.
No, it's God. God does that work.
You know, Ephraim, you said, you talk about the truth. I mean, this hits it right there, very well. I said, "I had to tell you this before I died."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know, Ephraim," he said, "I believed a lot in you. But," he said, "now I'm going to believe much, much more in you."
Yeah.
He said, "I can go back home. I've got it marked in the book. When it happened," he said, "I'm going to put a big X on it."
Wonderful.
Complete closure.
Praise the Lord.
And I don't know, you know, I'm not doing this to be famous or anything.
Yes.
I was already famous 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what happened to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. I mean, the guy, I didn't know if he wasn't going to punch me in the mouth. At least I said, "You know, I hope he gives me time to remove my glasses if he's going to hit me."
Sure.
You know. But that's the way it happened.
Yeah.
He said, "You know, this is between two human beings. This is not God."
Yeah.
But Jesus, it worked the same way.
Yeah.
He said, "I believe quite highly of you before."
Yeah.
But he said, "Now I would crush you with anything."
Yeah.
And what a comment to come to my ear. You know?
Yeah. That's the power.
That's it.
Thank you, Ephraim. And that's what God does. He brings real change. He brings a real change. And it's the power of God working in our hearts so the truth has to come out, so that life can be lived, so that we don't have to live with skeletons in the closet, but we can be free. Free to walk with God in the liberty that He gives to us. Praise the Lord that there is authority that speaks to the children of men, to speaks to us in this room today, that Lord Jesus, You're here and You have spoken through Your word, and that You have that authority, and that Lord, You are willing to come into any heart and life that is willing to open to You. Sadly, not all. As it said, we read earlier, not all believe. But Lord, I pray that everyone in this room will certainly, definitely trust in Jesus Christ and experience the authority of God, the work of God, the power of God to love God and to love our neighbor. In Jesus' name.